I say of 2 minutes.
Okay, would you hold on and let Council get settled, please? Okay, please.
May it please the court, I'm Robert Stevenson, representing the appellate American Pension Services. And the appeal contests an amended order of the trial court that distributed the proceeds of a partition sale in the amount, total amount of $219,348. The division was $3,646 to American Pension, $215,702 to Sondra Barth, the sister of Patrick Cathy, and a total of $109,674, the one half of the $215,000 to Sondra, plus the offsets. It's the offsets that we're here contesting. This appeal stems basically from the Olty judgment, an old common law judgment given to Tammy Hafey, the wife, in a divorce from Patrick Hafey, $150,000 plus interest. It was defaulted on. And when it was defaulted on, it was assigned by Tammy to American Pension Services to collect it.
The Olty judgment related to specific property, the property that belonged to the marital community, right?
I'm sorry, Judge.
The Olty judgment was a lien with respect to what was formerly community property, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So that was specific property to which the judgment attached.
Yes, the judgment and a deed of trust and note was with it, too. Okay. Hafey defaulted on the judgment. They foreclosed his home. And when they foreclosed, the mother's home of Patrick and Sondra Barth, the lady who partitioned here, was empty. And rather than have the thing vandalized and left alone, it was all, both of them were in Everett, Patrick moved in with these two boys. The argument that it was an ouster is just not so, because Patrick Henry, to our knowledge, never claimed exclusive possession. So we had two people in common here. The mother left the home to Patrick and to Sondra Barth in common. Both of them had a right to live in the home. Sondra was not here. She lived in Minnesota. And so Patrick moved into the home, which brings us to what we're trying to say here on appeal. We contend that the Olty judgment falls under RCW 456-190, and that statute says the real estate of any judgment debtor and any real estate that he may acquire, which is what happened here, Patrick acquired a half interest in the home, shall be a lien, and if the judgment debtor owns real estate subject to execution jointly or in common with any other person, the judgment shall be a lien on the interest of the defendant only. It's our contention that despite this statute and the Hartley case, which essentially holds a nullity judgment, ousts a homestead. We contend, and I guess it's a case of first impression, that no offsets can be made against our interest in the Patrick Cathy one-half interest. No offsets. If we get into the discussion of offsets, creditor offsets, our contention is that the rent should never have been charged because we didn't claim exclusive possession. We moved in there for a few months. I don't know exactly how many months, but I question the number of months that the judge awarded this for, because the foreclosure was in 2013 of the Hafey home. And I think on the rent issue, lady being in Sondra being in Minnesota protected the home. Then if I could ask you about that,
I thought the trial court concluded that the home was in disrepair. I thought the trial court concluded that the home was in disrepair and that it had to be substantial repairs done. Now, that's slightly different than the rent issue, but doesn't that sort of show that it wasn't properly maintained, the house?
The rent?
No, the disrepair issue. They also got an offset for the cost of improving it and selling that.
We contend there should be no rent. That's our contention, because both of them are entitled to the moiety of the whole, and not the whole, the moiety we had in law school. You know, the other argument of taking $53,000 and $760 from for enhanced and repairs is not fair. At least we should get half of the repairs. And don't forget here, this is without a referee. Sondra had the whole control of this partition, and we had nothing to say about it at all. Patrick Hafey, defaulted. So there was no hearing on the merits on his part at all. The 36-46 should remain, and on cross appeal, we contend that the judge believed that it did attach to the one-half interest. As I understand the cross appeal, they're claiming nothing attaches to the one-half interest. That's my understanding of it.
Okay, you have your 2 minutes of rebuttal.
May it please the court, Matthew Snell representing plaintiffs Thomas and Sondra Barth. The standard of review in this partition action is abuse of discretion, meaning the court would need to find that the trial court acted in a manifestly unreasonable manner. Furthermore, partition of property is an equitable action in which the trial court has great flexibility in fashioning appropriate relief for the parties depending on the factual circumstances. In this case, it's a partition of plaintiff Sondra Barth and her brother, who inherited the property from their mother as tenants.
Counsel, if I could ask you a question.
Sure.
Patrick was defaulted in the partition action as well, was he not?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So what was his interest after the default? I was looking, again, this morning at the clerk's papers. I didn't see I don't think the order of default itself was in there. What was left of Patrick's interest after the order of default?
After the order of default, he still held a half interest in the property.
So the order of default only went to right of possession as opposed to what his interest was?
Yeah, the default basically mentioned that they sought the offsets against Patrick Hafey's interest, correct?
Okay. And then my other question was, counsel for the appellant made reference to the Hartley case from our court back in 1989. What do you think that case, how does that case apply to this case?
The Hartley case, that case involved a non-judicial foreclosure of a deed of trust. And actually, that case is somewhat analogous to what happened on the former family home of Patrick Hafey in this case. You know, in that case, you're looking at how the surplus funds are distributed. And in that case, it's distinguishable from the case here. It's not looking in a court of equity, but what's a fair of equitable distribution. Here they're just looking at and attacking the surplus funds and looking at the order of priority with reference to that. And all the, in that case basically held that, yeah, OLT lien judgment does attach to that specific property. And in this case, at issue in this partition action is a different property, not the former family home that was community property of Patrick Hafey and his ex-wife, who assigned her equalizing lien from that to American Pension in this case.
So is the OLT, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, lien limited only to the proceeds of the dissolution, the community property, or what's the rule then that you think?
So that is the argument that we raise on cross appeal. In essence, it doesn't change the distribution of the proceeds per se. What it would shift is it would essentially award, instead of the $3,800, roughly that amount that was awarded to American Pension, it would award that amount to Patrick Hafey as his share, because saying that that OLT lien did not attach to this specific property. And as American Pension already acknowledged, they already recovered around $45,000 on the other property.
So you're saying that the general judgment lien statute that says when a judgment is entered in a county, it becomes a lien on all real property owned by the debtor in that county, does not apply to this situation with respect to the OLT lien?
Correct. That's our argument on cross appeal.
And is the only case that really talks about that is Wyndhamute in the context of a dissolution? Is there any other case in Washington that talks about that?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any other case that really attacks that issue or is directly on point. You know, in the Wyndhamute case, they do get into a discussion of the concept of a vendor's lien and why that is limited in scope and nature. I mean, it's to protect that money that was to a specific property. And in that case, it even uses the word significantly more focused and limited in scope than a general judgment lien.
Is there a difference in the form of the judgment? I mean, how would one know whether you've got an OLT judgment or regular judgment?
Yeah, so an OLT judgment is the old term, and what you see common is in dissolution proceedings. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's an equalization payment where...
Right. But could I take my judgment, my OLT judgment, and just down to the recorder's office and register it, and so if the person it's against got some property, as far as the recorder knows, it attaches to that property. Couldn't I?
That potentially could be, that issue could be contested with the authority on the issue of its limited scope and nature. Again, there's not.
So until you dig down into the paperwork, no one really knows on the surface whether you've got an OLT judgment or a regular judgment.
I think it does when you look at the deed of trust. The judgment in this case is in the record from the 2009 divorce. It does make reference to specifically uses the term equalizing lien.
The deed of trust presumably would have in the legal description the former marital community property, would it not?
Correct.
But following up on Judge Spearman's question, if after the dissolution was entered and you had an OLT lien, could you just go record it for any other purposes as a judgment, or would it just inherently be limited?
That's a good question, and you know, based on the position under Wyndhamute and other authority that has addressed that, as it likens it to a vendor's lien, that it would be limited. Again, there's not a case that directly answers that point. I do want to touch on briefly on the priority issue. RCW 7.52.220 provides authority for the distribution of the sale proceeds and partition sale. And although these statutory provisions provide the court with guidance, they don't mark the outer limits of a court exercise of equitable powers. And in this case, with the Supreme Court in McKnight has demonstrated that the court has exercised broad powers with respect to liens against real property. And in that case, they imposed a lien against the proceeds of the sale of one co-tenant in favor of the other co-tenant, even though that was not specifically something in the statute. And that is the argument in this case. And moving on, touching briefly on the issue of rent.
What's the basis for the court's award of rent in this case?
The basis for the award of rent in this case is ouster active exclusion from the property. American Pension does not address that in its briefing at all or contest those facts. You do have the situation here where Sandra Barth, the plaintiffs, worked together with defendant Patrick Hafey until 2009 to manage and operate the property. And beginning in November 2009, the Barths were completely excluded from any from the property management. They wanted to rent or sell the property. You know, they lived in Minnesota. They didn't have the resources to travel out here much. And all of a sudden, Patrick Hafey ignored all calls, all efforts at communication with regard to the property.
But if they had made some effort to go out to the property and do something, is there any evidence that he would not have allowed them to do that?
There is evidence on that. The Barths traveled out to Seattle from Minnesota in 2011, and this was the only time they were able to speak with Patrick Hafey, and he refused to discuss the property at issue and was very upset that they even showed up to address that issue.
Did he prevent them from going onto the property?
At that point, they didn't. The Barths talked with Patrick Hafey's son, who was residing at the property, to send the messages that they needed to get access and rent or sell this property, and that was refuted.
Yeah.
And on the issue of enhanced value and awarding the full enhanced value, it is important to understand that after the writ of ejectment in June of 2013, this property left by Patrick Hafey was in complete and utter disrepair. And the plaintiff spent 10 weeks with the help of his two sons, who are experienced professional contractors, and they spent a combined approximate 700 hours and significant expenses in repairing and improving the property. And the idea was to get that property ready for sale. I mean, it was at the stage it was in, it was just, as the testimony by the real estate broker Jerry Martin, his declaration testifies to, that the work done by the Barths actually enhanced the value of the property by a little over $50,000, and that work was realized upon the sale. And with that said, it's under, terms of equity that should be awarded in full to the Barths, as the trial court judge found. Unless you have any further questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The problem with respondents' position in this case is that the sister, tenant in common, wants to take all of the money in the partition action. All of it. This is supposed to be somewhat of an equitable division in partition in common. And if we were to follow the argument of counsel, we'd get nothing. The judge, remember, wouldn't give us anything because it wouldn't attach, he claimed. But 4 days later, the judge changed his mind and gave us the 3646. It isn't reasonable, in my opinion, to to take all of the money in this partition between a brother and sister, just because the sister controlled all of the partition. Again, there was no hearing on the merits as to the brother at all. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.